Now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Testing, testing, check, check, check.
Hello there, this is funny lady Judith Lucy.
Hi, this is Joel Creasy.
Hey, this is Fiona O'Loughlin.
Hi guys, McLaughlin here, that would be of the Craig variety.
Hi, this is Shayna Blaze.
Hello, this is Tom Ballard.
Hi, this is Melissa Cap.
G'day, this is ScoMo, Scott Morrison.
Hi, this is Reece Nicholson.
Hi, it's Gina Liano from The Real Housewives of Melbourne.
Hi, this is Reece Mastin.
Hi, this is JC Fox.
This is Kathy Griffin.
Hey, this is Todd Collins.
Hello, this is Weird Al Yankovic.
Hello everybody, it's Omar Rudberg and you're listening to The Troy Murphy Show.
Troy Murphy laughing at me in the other studio. Oh, he's dancing to my radio vet. Hello, Troy.
The last couple of shows I've listened to The Troy Murphy Show, I've nearly had a couple of accidents because my eyes have been watering with laughter so much.
Is it me? Am I the problem? Surely I can't be the only one that thinks that the world is going bananas. With doctors last summer claiming the term morbidly obese to be ditched. Look, I understand morbidly obese is not a glamorous term, but unlike the morbidly obese lifestyle, one should not have to sugarcoat everything to explain that it's problematic.
He's ready for his close-up. It's the Troy Murphy Show.
Ladies, gentlemen, them, they, and all, welcome to the Troy Murphy Show. I am, of course, your host, Troy Murphy, and this, as the name suggests, is the Troy Murphy Show. Yes, it's that glorious time of the week again, Thursday nights from 7 p.m, when the Troy Murphy Show graces the 2SR bandwidth and airwaves for an exciting adventure of talk till 8 p.m. Ah, covering everything from the serious news to the weird, wacky, and wonderful news from around the world. It's where celebrities stop by for a chat, and we've got a great celebrity in store for you tonight. And people far smarter than I join us to talk topics that need expert opinions on. And of course, the Troy Murphy Show house band is in the studio for antics and songs all night long. Big thank you to BJ and Grossy, plus the one and only legendary Gossip Girl, who, let's be honest, she carries the show. And of course, I do say that I am biased, as I am Gossip Girl's number one fan. Thank you, team. Thank you for kicking off Thursday Drive as we now enter into 2SR nighttime. On the show tonight, we talk to Marsha Hines. Yes, the Marsha Hines, Australia's queen of pop, ahead of her Australian tour that will be coming to this here Shire. Plus, on the show tonight, lots of weird, wacky, and wonderful news, from hot bedding to red wine and how, well, scientists have found a new benefit when drinking red wine. The occasional glass. What that benefit is, well, we'll talk about it, as well as a doctor who has gone viral on TikTok for giving certain advice on what not to do in the shower. What that thing is? Well, you know, this is the front of the show. We do teasers here, so you'll have to listen to find out exactly what this doctor said not to do in the shower later on the show. Plus, so much more. And with that, let's dive headfirst into this week's show without any safety gear on, of course, because that's how we do things here on the Troy Murphy Show, responsibly. Don't try this at home.
It seems today that all you hear is music on the radio and murder on podcasts. But where are those good old-fashioned talk shows on which we used to rely? Rocky Bear's a Troy Murphy Show. Rocky Bear's a man who positively can do all the things that make us tune in live.
Stay tuned. More from The Troy Murphy Show coming up right after this.
In Australia, only 13% of people keep fish. 9% of households without a pet and 17% with a pet are interested in keeping fish. The three reasons they don't keep fish are that they think it is harder, more expensive, and more time-consuming than it is. All three reasons are a myth, depending on what setup you choose. A simple tropical setup is actually the easiest and cheapest pet you can get. Pop in and visit us at Majestic Aquariums Tarrant Point, or follow us on our social media and learn how far fish keeping has come in the last few years. Majestic Aquariums are proud sponsors of 2SSR.
2SSR can help you promote your business with an innovative and inexpensive marketing plan. Our in-house team will help you design a campaign, voice the audio, and give it the professional production values you need. To find out more, call us on 9545 1800 or email info@2SSR.com.au to organise a talk with our experienced marketing team.
Hi, it's Kale. Hope you can join me for Friday Night Live every Friday from 7 to 9pm for a mix of pop and indie music, interviews with interesting people, and all the music and entertainment news from the Shire, Sydney and beyond. Friday Night Live, 7pm on 2SSR 99.7 FM. I'll see you there.
The Troy Murphy Show, 7pm Thursdays on the Sutherland Shire's 2SSR 99.7 FM.
When you think about doing the same job for 50 years, you're probably thinking, oh, what a drag. But when you're iconic and you're a beloved Australian singer, say, I don't know, like Marsha Hines, who has had a career that has spanned for 5 decades, you think Aussie legend, and thank goodness she's been doing it for 50 years. Oh, and speaking of said Aussie legend, the one and only Marsha Hines is on the phone with us right now. Marsha, welcome to the show.
Hey, Troy, how you doing?
I'm very good, my friend. 50 years, cool. Marsha. Oh, my goodness. And still releasing music. How do you do it?
Yeah, sure. You know, I mean, I've got to be honest, it feels pretty special to still be relevant, but I don't see the 50 years. I mean, my calendar is my daughter, and she's 53 this year. But it's just one of those things. I don't really remember all the years. I remember some of them, but, you know, I don't sit here, you know, twiddling my thumbs thinking, oh, okay, so that's when you're gone. That's another. It's not quite like that, you know. But, yeah, it's been a joy. It's been a ride, you know, cool ride.
And we've loved seeing everything you do from music to stage to TV. Looking back, what would be some of the key highlights or moments that really stand out for you?
Well, you know, I don't want to sound repetitive, but this is the answer I give. I always say, well, the first really big thing was winning Queen of Pop, because Troy, when I won it, I was not a citizen. I was just a resident of Australia.
Yeah.
I had already adopted Australia as my home. But when I won that accolade, I realized Australia had adopted me, and that felt pretty special.
You are our Queen of Pop, and you are one of us. You are one of us.
Thank you.
And with your new album coming out, Still mm-hmm. Shining, it's going to feature 20 career-defining tracks. I'm reading straight off the press release here, including two new songs. Can you tell me about the process of selecting the songs that you want to put on this new album and how they represent different aspects of your career?
Well, you know, like that's my life, you know, the recording side of things, you know, and I've had some really great producers and writers I've had the pleasure of working with. And so I just chose songs that I think are really relevant to my career. Now, you do all you can, but somebody's going to say to me, why didn't you put blah, 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 blah on the album? Because it's one album.
Yeah.
And, you know, perhaps next year, you know, but so we chose, well, it was between my manager and myself, and we had big old chats about it, and he's a real brain, and he'd sit down and write lists of songs and say, what do you think of this? And what do you think? And I'd say, yes, or maybe no, we shouldn't use that one. But, you know, the live shows, it's a big thing, Troy. That's all I'm going to say. It's a big, big thing, because there's lots and lots of songs in the repertoire.
Yeah, I want to get to that. But I want to talk about your singing. I said in the opening, you are iconic, you are a legend. You have a vocal range that is incredible. Now, how do you maintain your voice, and how have you maintained it and nurtured it over the years?
Well, okay, so I don't smoke and I don't drink and I'm quite boring, really. I'm a pescatarian. I kind of try and take care of myself. I try and stay relatively fit. And when I was a kid in Boston, I won a scholarship for opera at the New England Conservatory. And so they taught me how important it was to take care of the pipes and how important it is to do warm-up. So whenever I do a show, I'll do a half hour to a 45-minute warm-up before I go on stage, just so I kind of know where my voice is placed. And, you know, and my thing is sleeping, Trey. I like sleeping. And that's how you can either got to be quiet or be a sleeper to try and keep your voice, you know, because you can't be in loud clubs or loud restaurants screaming over the noise that is, you know, the normal noise for a restaurant. So if people are talking to me in restaurants, I tend to nod a lot, you know, and shake my head. But I won't scream over it, you know, because you just can't. But you just have to rest a lot, you know, but because I'm not able to plug in my instrument. I am the instrument, so I have to rest it when I can.
Yeah. Yeah, it's can relate to that, being behind a microphone.
Yeah. Okay.
Now,
you know, you're feeling me, right? Yeah.
I'm feeling you. Yeah. And something else, Marcia, like I thought, you know, thinking on the fly, I don't want this to be an interview like any other that you're doing, because I'm sure each interview that you do is much the same sort of questions. Let's do something a little bit different. I want to talk about Australian Idol in a second. But first, Marcia, we have something in common. We're both type 1 diabetics. How's the diabetes going?
Well, the diabetes is going okay, man. You know, like some days a diamond, some days a stone, okay? some days you got a handle on it and some days you haven't. But it's a very unpredictable disease, but I actually am okay with it because it could be worse. Yeah. There you go. And yeah. Note, when I became a diabetic, I didn't know what was going on, and I had a procedure done in my mouth with a tooth, and it just didn't heal. Anyway, a friend of mine who did work in the hospital came to see me and said, "How you doing?" And I said, "I'm fine. I'm doing okay." He said, "Squeeze my hand." And supposedly I didn't. I thought I squeezed. He said, "We're going to the hospital." You know, and I had become dehydrated. Yeah. So we got there, and there was a girl, and I kid you not, you know, life is fascinating. There was a girl, and I was in a room with this girl, and she was yellow with jaundice, and she'd had a transplant that hadn't worked, and she was hoping to get another one. And she looked at me and said, "You know, you and I could really be sick, couldn't we?" Now, since then, she's passed away.
Oh, no.
Okay. Yes, man. And that was like, she was like an angel. I'm thinking, God, you're yellow and I'm fine here. You know what I mean? You really are sick. And you look at me and say, "You know, we could really be sick, couldn't we?"
Wow.
That was my epiphany, you know? So like I said, you know, it can always be worse and this is manageable, but it's manageable. And you just have to make sure that you're around good doctors, you know, that's the most important thing.
And as long as you're well and looking after yourself, Marcia, that's the key. Yeah.
Yeah. You know it, Troy. That's the truth of the matter, you know? You just have to look after yourself because after all, you are responsible for you.
Exactly. Now, Marcia, let's jump on the Australian Idol bandwagon. How could we forget? And I've got questions, Marcia. I've got so many questions.
I bet you have.
And firstly, do you think what you and the gang got away with on TV, more so the others, you were always the kind one, and do you think you could get away with what you got away with on TV back then, now, in today's climate?
Well, perhaps not them, but yeah, me, because, you know, I don't plan on changing, and I believe I'm doing it again this year.
Oh,
and
wow.
I don't plan on changing, Troy, you know, like, and every once in a while, the powers that be would say, no, I'd say, "You hired me, right? You hired me, and that's who I'm going to be." And my manager, Peter, kept saying to me every year, you know, because we did it for 7 years, Troy, he'd say, "The most important thing, Marcia, just be yourself."
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't know if you're aware of this, but Mark Holden is now a lawyer.
Yep.
A practicing lawyer. I don't know who. I went, "He's what?" And so he's actually a practicing lawyer, solicitor in Melbourne. And I've not seen Dicko around, but he pops up every once in a while. And, you know, like, we had no idea, Troy, we had no idea that this show was going to take off the way it did. You know, you hope for the best when you're introducing a new show into the public. But I have a friend who just recently passed away. His name is Brian Walsh, who used to run Fox. And I have a great bunch of people. It's not just me. I have a lot of people around me suggesting things and, you know, saying yes or no. And I remember Brian approached my manager and I and said, you know, there's an incredible show about to come to Australia. And the show in America is called American Idol. The show here is going to be called Australian Idol. If Marsha gets approached to do it, it'll be a great thing for her career.
Yep.
You know? I mean, that man was so good to me. Brian Walsh was just such a wonderful human being in my life. And it was a great thing because Trey introduced me to a younger audience. You know, I did a gig the other night and there were three girls in the front row. And I'd say the oldest one would have been 12 and then about maybe 10 and 9.
Wow.
And I thought, this is great. You know what I mean? And so I don't know if their parents have introduced me to them or they saw me on Idol this year that is just about to go, or, you know, I don't know, but it's just wonderful. I mean, that to me is how I want my career to be. I want to be appealing to all ages.
It was iconic TV, very much iconic TV. Now, Marsha, I want to have a little bit of fun. I want you to take a moment and think back to your time back then on Idol. Was there anything that ever happened off camera that you've never really shared before that would raise a few eyebrows?
Eyebrows? Not really. I mean, I probably, when the guys dogged Paulini about her dress, I tore those guys to shreds backstage because I said, you guys are fathers. You know, it was more Dicko than it was Mark. But I just said, you know, you can't do that. And not only that, we've got little girls and girls watching this show. And to body shame somebody, we didn't have that terminology back then, but to body shame somebody like that, and she thought she looked great. If she didn't think she looked great, she, you know, and is that what you really want to tell her about? Or how did she sing that night? You know, so I would talk to them. We'd have chats after the show. But I mean, but also, you know, to be honest, I really tend to stay to myself a bit as well. I'm a bit of a loner. So I, you know, when things were right, I'd say, okay, everything's right. But if something went wrong, or if ever I got a chance, I'd take one of the kids backstage and the camera crew would want to come into my dressing room and I'd say, no, this is off bounds. I want to say something to these kids that you don't need to hear.
Wow. See, that's stuff we never saw during the show.
No, you don't need to.
No. It makes it all different, though, I think. I think it
does. Yeah, but I mean, see, and if you saw that kind of stuff, you know what it would be? To me, it would just be like as good as a reality show that you see on TV. You're seeing enough reality just watching them try and cope, you know, and these kids had been, they've been plucked out of obscurity. Oh. And placed into the houses of all of Australia, you know. I mean, when Australian Idol was on, no matter where I went, a pilot would speak to me. The lady who checked me out at the supermarket would speak to me. People who cleaned the apartments in the hotels would speak to me. Everybody was watching that. That show was big, man.
Oh,
you know, and I'm used to stardom because I've been, you know, in the public eye since I was 16. So I'm used to it. But if you've never been, and not to that degree either, okay? Never to that degree. Never. Because those kids didn't know what stardom, at least I cut my teeth on stage and certain things. But those kids who just plucked from certain suburbs and certain parts of Australia and thrown into the laps of Australians.
Yeah. Which was huge and huge for the time. I remember it's got to be one of the last, in my recollection, so I'm projecting here a bit, one of the last sort of TV series that I know I would, and it could just be my age, but I know I sat down each night to watch on television itself, whereas that sort of culture is changed a little bit now, but it was very much iconic for the time.
it was incredibly iconic. But now there's so much to watch Troy.
There's
too much. there's too much. I mean, I've got a television.
Yeah.
And I flick, and end up turning it off.
And tuning into radio, yeah. Marsh. That's what you do.
Yeah. Babe, you need to know. No, I do. Radio is my company. And people, I like talk back too, because people say stuff they would never say to your face. They say stuff, you know. Yeah, so, I mean, radio is my company. Yeah.
Marsha, your impact on the Australian music industry has been significant. You said before, and you earned the title Queen of Pop, and you've been inducted into the ARIA Hall of Fame. How do you feel about the recognition and the influence you've had on future generations of artists here in Australia and abroad, really?
Well, I don't know that I've actually reflected upon that. I don't know that I have. The strange thing about when you become famous is you look at other people and go, gee, aren't they doing well? But you don't really, you know, pat yourself on the back and go, aren't you bad? You know, you just don't. And for me, and that's because I've always had people, if they ever saw my feet leaving the ground, they'd yank me back down. I had my mother and I had my manager and really good people around me. Nothing worse than someone who's sycophantic, you know? And I'm not good with sycophants. It makes me very uncomfortable.
And I think so, this is why you're an Aussie favorite, Marsha. You are so humble. So humble.
Thank you. Well, I mean, you know, I learned that I had a very, very fine upbringing. And when you've got a fine upbringing, even if you don't, you'll run into people who will bring you up, because that's our job. You know, I look at young people and I think, well, they're our future, so it's important to represent.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now, Marsha, as you embark on your 50th anniversary concert tour, what can fans expect from your performance? And are there any particular songs or moments in the show that fans can look forward to or hold special significance for you?
Well, the song that's kind of blowing me out a bit at the moment is I stopped singing Shiny for like 20 years, 15, yep. 20 years, and I put it back into the repertoire. And it feels great to sing. I didn't like it because I'd gone through litigation with my record company and consequently I wasn't allowed to record for a certain amount of time. And, you know, and all those things, they stick, you know, it actually stuck. And I thought, no, I'll leave it. I knew I'd sing it again, but since we've started, we went into intense rehearsals recently and then we did our first two gigs last weekend, and I sang it. And even when I did rehearsals, the guys said, oh, that's fantastic. I said, is it really? Is it? You know, I don't know, but it's a good song to sing. Most of the songs that I've been able to record have been really nice songs. And I only sing what I believe. I can't sing a song, you know, that's trite. Yes. I shouldn't say that. But yeah, I try and sing what I believe or something maybe I've lived, you know?
Yeah. New music from Marsha Hines is out tomorrow, Friday the 7th of July, which means I probably can't play it tonight on the radio, but most importantly for everyone across the Sutherland Shire, you just can't miss out on Marsha's Still Shining, the 50th anniversary concert tour for 2023, as it will be at the Sutherland Entertainment Centre, known now as The Pavilion, on July 29. Tickets available through the Pavilion website. Marsha, thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight. It has been an absolute honour and a pleasure.
Yeah, ditto. It's been really nice talking to you, man. You take care of yourself.
Stay tuned. More from The Troy Murphy Show coming up right after this.
Have you ever thought about the life you want to lead in retirement? How much will you need to save to achieve it? And will your superannuation be enough? A little bit of planning now can help you reach your retirement goals. At GJ Private Wealth, we take a customised approach to your retirement planning. Our expert team of qualified advisors will work with you to understand your personal situation and retirement goals to provide you with a personalised plan to help you get there. Speak to one of our advisors today by calling 02 8539 7999 or visit www.gjprivatewealth.com.au. GJ Private Wealth are authorised representatives of AMP Financial Planning and are proud sponsors of 2SSR.
Would you like to be involved in your local not-for-profit radio station? Would you like to become a 2SSR volunteer with the opportunity to be a presenter, provide office support or help with community events? If you would like to be part of the 2SSR family, call us on 9545 1800 or go to our website 2SSR.com.au and click on membership to download the application form.
Keeping it smooth in the Shire for over 20 years. Paul E. Routledge and Smooth Jazz. Will Downey. Everything I miss at home. Gerald Albright. Brand new heavies. You're such a freak. Making me wait. Paul E. Routledge and Smooth Jazz. Sunday, 6 p.m. for the drive home on FM 99.7.
Never miss a show. Listen on demand. Click the Troy Murphy Show on the 2SSR.com.au homepage program guide.
Stick around because coming up next, discover the intoxicating secret to a sizzling adult cuddle life. Uncork the passion. We won't tell you with what it is because that would give away the next segment. But anyway, science reveals something that you need to drink to help increase your libido. And we're going to talk about that next here on the Troy Murphy Show. But first, a quick look at the news that broke across the Southern Shire this week. Two separate incidents of burnt-out cars containing human remains have sparked a mystery in Sydney. The first discovery occurred in a Waterfall car park here in the Shire, where emergency services found human remains in the back of a burnt-out Toyota RAV4. The second incident took place in North Parramatta, where a body was found in the driver's seat of a burnt-out hatchback. Police are currently investigating whether the two incidents are connected. Autopsy reports are expected to provide more information, while investigators are appealing to the public for any relevant information, including dashcam footage or CCTV. The death in North Parramatta is being treated as suspicious, and police are also considering the possibility of self-harm. Gunshots were reportedly heard in the area around the time of the incident. And that's what broke this week in Sutherland Shire local news.
The Troy Murphy Show, 7 p.m. Thursdays on the Sutherland Shire's 2SSR 99.7 FM.
File this next segment under guess what I'm having a glass or two of after the show. In a breakthrough discovery that is sure to raise a glass or two, scientists have uncorked the secret to a healthy adult cuddles life. Yes, we'll just say adult cuddles. You know what I'm talking about. But, you know, for the sake of radio and things we can and cannot say, we'll just say adult cuddles. The answer to a healthy adult cuddles life, according to science, is red wine. Yes, in a study published in the Journal of Clinical Medicine, it has been revealed that a moderate consumption of red wine can boost libido for both men and women. While the health benefits of red wine have been widely known for some time, this research uncovers its exciting potential in the bedroom.
Yes, the antioxidant properties of red wine have already earned it the reputation for improving various ailments, but now it seems that it can also lend to, well, giving you a helping hand when it comes to matters of the heart and other body parts. The study points to, and I hope I pronounce this correctly, polyphenols as the key ingredient responsible for red wine's libido boosting prowess. These magical compounds are also found in dark chocolate, tea, and a variety of fruits and vegetables, proving that nature knows how to spice things up in unexpected ways indeed. So the next time you're planning a romantic evening, consider serving a tantalizing platter of blueberries, strawberries, some dark chocolate, and a glass of red wine. It's a recipe for a good time, or maybe even a great time. However, as with all things, moderation is key. The study warns against excessive consumption, reminding us that too much of a good thing can dampen the flames of passion. And gentlemen, we all know what it's like when you have one too many brewskis. We've all been there. So whilst you may be tempted to guzzle down a whole bottle of red wine in the name of love and science, remember that romance is a delicate dance that requires balance and finesse. So just a glass or two. Of course, no study is complete without its fair share of unanswered questions. The researchers admit that further investigation is needed to fully understand the precise role of red wine in the realm of adult cuddle response. So until then, ladies, gentlemen, them, they, and all, let's raise a glass to the scientists who are dedicating their time and effort to unraveling the mysteries of wine and romance. Cheers to them, and cheers to a future filled with passion, pleasure, and a hint of grape-induced magic. Ha ha. Oh dear. That appears to be the studio telephone ringing. It's been a while since that's happened here on the show, which can mean only one thing. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Why, hello there, Troy. It's the Troy Murphy Show's Aunt Ethel here calling in to have my say.
As we have come to expect, Aunt Ethel, as we have come to expect indeed. Although it has been some time, a few weeks since we last had you on the show, we'd hope you had died.
We'd hoped you'd what, Troy? The line dropped out there for a second. What did you say?
I said, Aunt Ethel, we'd hope you were well and that you'd call us again.
As you should, young man, as you should. Now, you see, Troy, I have rung you today, well, not really to have my say, but to ask you, Troy, a question.
Oh, you want my opinion on something, Aunt Ethel?
Oh, no, Troy. You're a half-wit nincompoop. The question I want to ask is for the number of the scientist who did the study, Troy.
Oh, why do you want their opinion or do you have a question for them?
No, Troy. No, Troy. You said that they had to do more research on the topic. And Troy, I, Aunt Ethel, am willing to offer myself up for some scientific research. You know, Troy, to do my bit for society.
More like do your bit for some free red wine and some extra attention from the male folk.
Well, Troy, you say potato, I say potato.
Right, hang up that phone. Thank you, Aunt Ethel. So it looks like, ladies, gentlemen, them, they, and all, we finally have scientific evidence to back up those wine-fueled pickup lines. So next time you're at a bar, remember to drop some knowledge about the polyphenols in red wine. And who knows, maybe you'll end up sharing more than just a bottle.
Cheers to stimulating conversation and an even more stimulating night on the red wine. And of course, you know, just to be safe here, should really put in the do drink responsibly, you know, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, you get the point.
Catch up with all the latest news from The Troy Murphy Show. Visit www.thetroymurphyshow.com.
Stick around because coming up next, from guilty pleasures to bladder boot camp, discover the hilarious reason why you should think twice before peeing in the shower. But first, attention residents of the Sutherland Shire, it's community service announcement time. Our local member for Hughes, Jenny Ware, is back on the road with her listening tour, setting up her mobile office this Friday from 8:30 a.m. in Bonnet Bay. Join Jenny to share the matters that are important to you and engage in a meaningful conversation with your local member. No need to book, just turn up to Bonnet Bay Supermarket in Bonnet Bay Shopping Centre, 13 Kennedy Crescent in Bonnet Bay. Anytime from 8:30 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. this Friday, the 7th of July.
The Troy Murphy Show, 7 p.m. Thursdays on the Sutherland Shire's 2SSR 99.7 FM.
File this next segment under the weird, the wacky, and the latest information out of the medical world, as a doctor has come forward to warn against the common practice of peeing in the shower. Yes, you heard right, peeing in the shower. Urogynecologist, I hope I pronounced that correctly, Dr. Teresa Irwin has taken to TikTok to spread the word and save us all from the horrors of a leaky bladder. According to her, this dirty habit could transform your innocent bladder into a Pavlovian dog salivating at the sound of running water. In her viral video, Dr. Irwin dropped the bombshell that every time you hear water running, if you regularly pee in the shower, well, then your bladder will, well, it will want to jump up and down like a kid on a trampoline demanding to be emptied. So forget about peaceful washing your hands or doing the dishes, because your bladder will be doing a happy dance, eager to join the party. Who knew your bladder could get so excited about the simple sound of H2O, or is it H2 go to the toilet every time you hear it running? But wait, there is more. Pelvic floor therapist Dr. Alicia Jeffrey Thomas, she too joined the conversation to confirm this mind-blowing theory. Apparently, if you engage in the ungodly act of peeing while in the shower, while the water is running in the shower, or even if a faucet is on, so a tap is turned on while you're peeing, well, then your brain will form an association between the sound of running water and the urge to pee. It's like creating a symphony for your bodily functions. And here's the cherry on top. This habit, combined with pelvic floor dysfunction, could lead to leaky issues in the future. So not only will your bladder become a water-seeking missile, but it might also turn into its own leaky faucet when it hears water outside of the shower. Talk about a concert of bodily malfunctions. But don't just take it from me. Let's take it from the experts themselves as we take a listen to what was said on that all-important modern-day wealth of information, TikTok.
Stop peeing in the shower. Now, I have mentioned in the past that that is a correct standing position, is one of the PE positions that's correctly done to empty the bladder. But that's just for emptying the bladder. You just don't want to do it all the time, because what happens, it's kind of like the Pavlov dog training, where every time they heard a little bell ringing, they would start salivating. And your bladder, every time it hears running water, is going to want to pee. So whenever you're washing your hands, if you're taking a shower, washing the dishes, if there's running water, your bladder is going to be salivating because it wants to go and pee. So you need to...
Right, the video ended there, so I don't know what she was going to go on and say there, but there you have it. It seems that the innocent act of peeing in the shower has turned into a potential bladder training program. So unless you want your bladder to become an over-eager party-goer every time you encounter running water, it might be wise to reconsider your shower time rituals. That, of course, is if you pee in the shower. I am concerned. You know, I'm not a woman. Never claimed to be. I've never had the desire to one day wake up and self-identify as one, mostly because I don't have the bits. But did you hear in that video from this doctor, this pelvic floor therapist, Dr. Alicia Jeffrey Thomas, that standing up is the ideal way for women to pee? If not in the shower, where do you do it? Anyway, it seems as though peeing in the shower has gone from a guilty pleasure or a time-saving exercise to a case of bladder boot camp as we all retrain ourselves. Who knew the bathroom could be such a battleground for bodily control? But remember the solution, the good news. It's not really good news. It's a terrible joke that I always do at the end of each segment. It's best to give our bladders a break and keep the shower for singing and questionable dance moves instead. Or if you're like me, rehashing old arguments and discussions and coming up with better responses after the fact. Ah, shower time. It's not just for getting clean. You're listening to The Troy Murphy Show.
Follow The Troy Murphy Show on Twitter. Search Troy Murphy.
Stick around, because coming up next, we discover the bizarre trend sweeping Australia's housing crisis. It's called hot bedding. What is hot bedding? Well, here's a hint. It has nothing to do with temperature or sharing the bed with someone hot. Although it could, depending. Either way, we delve into the world of hot bedding next here on The Troy Murphy Show. But first, ponder this. The person who first discovered that coconut could be eaten must have experienced depths of hunger many will never ever know. Ponder that.
The Troy Murphy Show, 7 p.m. Thursdays on the Sutherland Shire's 2SSR 99.7 FM.
Just when you thought that the housing crisis here in Australia couldn't get any worse, it is now reported that university students are resorting to a peculiar trend called hot bedding in an effort to combat sky-high rental costs and lack of, well, rental availability. Now, when you think hot bedding, it's not some sort of extreme sleepover party trend. No, it's a living situation where individuals share a bed and split the rent with a complete stranger. Talk about getting up close and personal with a roommate. Could you imagine sharing a bed with a complete stranger? I've got issues, but we'll get to that in a... Well, I've got issues anyway. Anyone would tell you about it, but I've got issues with hot bedding. Let's learn more about this. Whilst hot bedding may sound like a solution born out of
desperation, it has become a stark reality for many international students. Just imagine the awkwardness of going through a breakup and being stuck in a bed with a person you barely knew or barely know. It's a perfect recipe for a sitcom episode, or perhaps a cautionary tale for future renters, or those who don't pay attention when it comes to how you vote, because then that, let's not go there. This is supposed to be fun stuff at the front, serious stuff at the back segment. Now, according to a survey conducted in 2021, approximately 3% of international students in Sydney and Melbourne admitted to participating in this unique housing arrangement. One 19-year-old international student from India shared her story, revealing that she shares a bedroom on the outskirts of Melbourne with a truck driver who works nights. She enjoys the bed during the night while he claims it during the day. Well, I guess that's a lucky situation indeed for her. But still, you're sharing someone else's bed. Do you change the sheets between, or do you share the same sheets? Oh, I've got issues with this story and in life. So if you ever find yourself overhearing students talking about hot bedding, don't be alarmed. It's not them talking about a new adult cuddle trend. No, it's just their quirky solution to exorbitant rental crisis and a testament to the lengths people will go to in order to save a few bucks. Who needs personal space when you can have a rotating bed schedule and a stranger as your bedfellow, right? It seems the rental situation in Australia has indeed taken a strange turn. Hot bedding is certainly an innovative solution to the housing crisis, but let's hope it doesn't inspire any form of new reality TV show, you know, called Best Buddies or the Roommate Roulette. As they say, desperate times do call for crammed quarters. I don't know who says that because I just made it up. But that is indeed bizarre. Absolutely bizarre.
Stay tuned. More from The Troy Murphy Show coming up right after this.
The Reading Writing Hotline is there to help adults who have difficulties with reading, writing or spelling. Their number is 1300 655 06.
1300 655 06.
Go on, take the plunge.
Did you know federal government departments have the power to stop you hearing and reading what they don't want you to know? They can approve the terms for huge sales of agricultural land to foreign companies, but you're not allowed to know. And federal police can raid journalists' homes for reporting the truth if it says you're not allowed to know. Could this happen in Australia? It's happening now. Find out what they don't want you to know at yourrighttoknow.com.au.
Authorised by Australia's Right to Know Sydney.
Did you miss your favourite show? Did you want to listen back again? 2SSR is now on demand, so you can listen back whenever you want. Simply click on the show you want to listen back to on the live program guide by going to the 2SSR.com.au homepage. There you will find the show's on-demand player with the latest from your favourite show, music included. Take 2SSR wherever you go. It's as easy as click, play, enjoy.
They say that a change is as good as a holiday. So if you're looking for a new hobby or experience, then please join me, Anne Warren, for the Art and Soul program. We'll look at what's happening around the Shire with a focus on the arts. You'll hear about the latest exhibitions, events, festivals, or perhaps a fun and interesting workshop. It's live, it's local, it's 2SSR Art and Soul every Tuesday between 12 and 2 p.m. Right here on 2SSR 99.7 FM and streaming live around the world on 2SSR.com.au.
Friday, Saturday, happy days. Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, what a day. Tune your radio to a.m., 6 p.m., and then online all week long. Friday, Saturday, happy days. Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, what a day. Tune your radio to the Troy Murphy Show. The Troy Murphy Show. The Troy Murphy Show. The Troy Murphy Show.
The Troy Murphy Show, 7 p.m. Thursdays on the Sutherland Shire's 2SSR 99.7 FM.
Time now here on the Troy Murphy Show for the serious stuff at the back. We've had a lot of fun today, but we've got to do the serious stuff because I know just how much you love this serious stuff. And you're probably thinking, Troy, you're going to be talking about The Voice. There's been a lot about The Voice this week in the media. Troy's bound to talk about it. He talks about it every week. But no, not this week. As tempted as I am to talk about The Voice, because we talk about it every week here on the show and it just goes from bad to worse each week, there is something that is far worse and needs far more attention. In fact, it needs our government's full attention. The Albanese government needs to give their full attention to the issue of cost of living before anything to do with The Voice or anything else, because it is now out of control crazy. You see, there's a prominent charity organization called Food Bank, and they have issued a warning about the adverse effects of the rising interest rates on child hunger in Australia. The charity has reported an alarming trend of students going without lunch and even resorting to stealing food from their classmates' lunchboxes. School principals have reached out to charities seeking assistance to provide meals for hungry students. The correlation between interest rate hikes and the increased hunger among children is deeply concerning. Recently, a primary school in New South Wales contacted Food Bank for help after teachers discovered that some young students were using restroom breaks as an excuse to rummage through their peers' bags in search of food. In another case, a high school principal observed that certain teenagers were experiencing faintness due to hunger during class hours. Now, Brianna Casey, the CEO of Food Bank, has expressed deep concern over the impact of the cost of living crisis on vulnerable families. She revealed that around 3,000 Australian schools have already enrolled into the program to receive free breakfasts for children. This is in response to the escalating demand. Food Bank has, well, they've been making hampers available in staff rooms and canteens, aiming to alleviate hunger and its adverse effects on health and education. To address this, Brianna Casey, the CEO of Food Bank, recently met with economists from the Reserve Bank, the RBA. We hear about them every day in the news, to advocate for a halt in interest rate increases. She presented data from the Food Bank, which illustrated the direct correlation between rate hikes and the surge in requests for food relief over the past year. The RBA, on the other hand, well, they have decided to keep the cash rate at 4.1% during their recent meeting this week. But they have cautioned that further rate increases might be necessary if inflation does not subside. We all know how the government should be pulling all the levers to make sure inflation goes down. They're not doing what they need to do for the Australian people. They're too worried with, I know The Voice is a very important issue as it affects part of the Australian community, but this cost of living crisis is affecting more. That can just be put on hold for a little while until we sort out
this: children going hungry. Because let's be honest, we did hear, and I didn't want to talk about The Voice this week, but I'm going to anyway. Linda Burney, who is the Indigenous Australians Minister, she came out and did the press club this week and went on and on and on about how, you know, Australia has to vote yes. It's the only way that, you know, Aboriginal people will have a better way of life. Well, no, it's not the only way. That's your job, Linda Burney. You are the Indigenous Australians Minister. It is your job to make sure that Aboriginal people, the Aboriginal people of Australia, the First Nation here, have a better life. It's up to you to listen. You don't need a voice. You can go and listen, but you haven't. We know that because when you guys took the office at the last election and you were advised by Aboriginal groups not to remove the alcohol bans from the Northern Territory and Alice Springs, well, you ignored them. And then, well, we all know what happened there. The crime went through the roof. The violence went through the roof. The drinking went through the roof. You didn't listen then. What's going to make you listen to a voice that's enshrined in the Constitution? Anyway, it's your job. You don't need a voice to do it. So let's go back to this cost of living issue that's affecting school children, forcing them to go hungry and steal food from lunchboxes, and principals having to resort to going to charity groups to try and organise food for their students. The harsh reality of the situation at the moment is that approximately 500,000 households in Australia are currently struggling to provide meals for their families. Many parents, despite having jobs, are sacrificing their own meals to ensure that their children are fed. Some even take on additional employment, such as driving for Uber and engaging in other gig work to make ends meet. These stories that we hear time and time again in the media at the moment highlight the pressing need for better support and assistance for children and families experiencing food insecurity. But here's the catch-22. If you start spending money to help subsidize or help these families, government money, taxpayers' dollars on this, that adds to inflation. It's a catch-22. So what do you do? Well, that's up to people far smarter than I. I'm just a guy behind a microphone. I'm not running the country. The warning from the food bank sheds light on this distressing connection between rising interest rates and child hunger here in Australia. The increasing number of students arriving at school without lunch and resorting to stealing food is a clear indication of the severity of the problem, with families already grappling with the cost of living crisis. It is essential for those people running the joint, as well as community organisations, to address this issue promptly and provide the necessary support to help ensure that no child goes hungry. Do better, everyone. Do better. Hashtag that as rant over. You're listening to The Troy Murphy Show.
It's crazy and it's zany. It's delirious but grainy. Tastes a little gamey. The Troy Murphy Show.
Unique. It's just like a train wreck, you just can't stop listening.
So tune the radio dial on, Thursday nights at 7 from. We're gonna put the ray on, the Troy Murphy Show.
And now for the big ending!
The Troy Murphy Show.
And it's all over, just like that.
And that's it. The Troy Murphy Show done and dusted for another week. Thanks for tuning in. I'll be back next week from 7 p.m. for another edition of The Troy Murphy Show. If you missed any part of the show or want to listen back to any of the ranting or raving from tonight's extravaganza, you can listen back on demand by clicking the Troy Murphy Show on the program guide that you can find on the TWSR.com.au website or podcast via Apple or Spotify. Until next week, my friends, bye for now.
TWSR FM 99.7.